Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church this morning. Welcome if you're in the Henty building, if you're ever in the Lockhart building, welcome to you. If you're online, welcome to you as well. In Psalm 95, we read, come, that's our key word for this morning, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come, is that word again, come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And obviously the question is, well, why would we want to do that? Well, the psalmist gives us the answer. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. And then he says, come, there's that word again, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people. Of his pasture, the flock under his care. And that's what we do this morning. We come to worship the great God, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the great God. He is our God and we are his people. So we're going to do that this morning by singing Come People of the Risen King. If you've got the songbook, we're on page number 5. Come People of the Risen King.
To bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him. Where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell our battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Full or empty hands, find the riches of his grace. Over all the world his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that Christ through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice,
Bibles to Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. If you're in the church in Henty, we're on page 1247, 1247. Revelation 19, 1 to 10, and Florence is going to read that for us this morning. Thanks, Florence.
Okay, Revelation chapter 19 from verse 1. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." And again they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, "Amen! Hallelujah!" Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Amen.
Amen indeed. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you've reminded us that you are the great God, the one and only God, the one and true God, the one true and living God, the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything that dwells therein. Father, we thank you that you have chosen a people for yourself. We thank you that you have reached out to us and adopted us as your people. We thank you that you are the good shepherd, the faithful shepherd, the shepherd who cares for the sheep. Father, we thank you for your surpassing greatness, for your majesty and your glory and your holiness. We thank you that you are faithful and true in everything that you do. We thank you that you are strong and mighty. We thank you that you are dependable, that we can rest on you. Father, we praise you for all that you have done for us in the sending of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know our unworthiness. We know our sin, which is constantly before us. We know the times that sin pricks our consciousness. We know the times when we have disobeyed you. Father, we're sorry for our sin and sorry for our offences, which cause offence to you. And so, Father, we come to you this morning seeking forgiveness and seeking your grace and seeking your mercy. And we thank you that we don't have to worry about whether you'll accept us. That, Father, we know that we are accepted through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for that picture that we've just read in the book of Revelation of the wedding supper at the end of time, the great banquet, where all your gathered people will shout hallelujah and praise to you, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. His bride is now here. Father, we thank you that this picture fills us with assurance and it fills us with hope. And so, Father, we thank you for this hope that you have indeed given us. Lord, so often we struggle in this world. It has many challenges. But we thank you for the eternity and the assurance that we have through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and ask these things. Amen. We have some announcements for this morning. It's birthday time again. Robbie, if you're listening, very happy birthday to you. Be assured we're continuing to pray for you in your recovery, but we hope that you have a great day, and happy birthday also to Warren. He's having a birthday today as well. Birthdays all round. Okay, this week, then, a couple of things happening. Ladies, you're meeting on 2:30 tomorrow, and Tuesday, 7:30. Your passage for Bible study is Psalm 23. Men, we're meeting at 7:30 on Thursday. Our passage is the book of Nahum. You might need to look at the index to find that one. And if you're in Greenhouse, we're meeting on Friday at 7 o'clock, and your passage is Luke 23. And if you're not one of those people, well, you should just read all three anyway. That would be a good thing to do during the week. None of the restrictions have changed, so everything is just the same. We're doing exactly what we've been doing at Henty next week on the 15th of November. And at Lockhart, same thing. Please come down to the church at 10:30 like you're doing this morning. Committee of Management. We haven't had Committee of Management for a while. So it'll be Tuesday, the 17th of November, 7:30 in Henty. That's not this Tuesday, it's the following Tuesday. So Tuesday, 17th of November, that's a date for the diary. PWA, the Lockhart ladies are having their PWA Christmas gathering on Friday the 20th at the RSL Club at 12. If you're in Lockhart, Heather Perryman's your person. If you're in Henty, and you're a lady and you'd like to go, Beryl's the person that we need to see. So we just need numbers because obviously going down to the RSL Club. I've been invited every year and I really love going. So if you're a lady, it's a wonderful time of fellowship. So that's Friday the 20th. If you're looking for a good gift for Christmas, a book, and a good Christian book is always a good thing. And Monica's offering to sort of be the go-between. She has all the Coorong catalogues. So if you'd like to order something for Christmas or not sure about what sort of book to get, you might want to check the catalogue. Monica is the person. She's down in the store, down the main street of Henty there, but she's offered to sort of go as a go-between for us. And my sister rang me during the week and she said she was in Bunnings doing Christmas shopping. And I thought, blimey, it's just 2 months to Christmas, but it's a good idea to get organised early. So that's an option for you. If you go to that webpage, it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like something out of the 80s. It's a bit more flashy than that. But please keep up to date on the website. Every week we're putting the sermon up. We're also putting the video of this service up. So if you want to just listen to the audio or if you want to review the video, you can get that online. There's other stuff up there, but just drop in and bookmark the page, and that's the web address if you haven't already done that.
Craig, yes. Just before you start, can you just check all your wires for your headset because the audio is a bit strange? Can you just check that everything's plugged in properly?
Okay, I believe I'm plugged in.
Like it's coming through the audio, it's just a little bit crackly.
Okay, I'm definitely plugged in.
Yeah, okay, good.
Hello there, James. Have you got any friends? Montana, you don't want to come down the front and help James? Okay. All righty. Montana, that was a very nice picture of you in the news, in the council news sheet during the week too. Check it out if you haven't done that already. Okay. Okay, guys, I'm going to show you four pictures. What do these four pictures have in common? Ready? Are you ready? I'm going to show them to you anyway. Let's have a look. Okay, first picture. Homework. All right. Second picture. You're washing the dishes. That's right. Third one. Going to the dentist. Fourth one. Cleaning your room. What do all those things have in common? They're all working. They are all working. What else? What else? Yeah, they're chores. They're things we don't like to do. And when we don't like to do things, what do? We put it off. We put it off. We do it tomorrow. Isn't that right? Yes, you're nodding. That's right. Okay. They're things that we always want to put off. Okay. Now, what's the problem with putting things off? The problem with putting things off is, next slide, it doesn't get done. That's right. There are consequences if you put things off. So if you don't do your homework, what's the consequence? You don't get it done, but you don't only get it done. You tend to go pretty bad in your exams, don't you? Okay. And if you don't do the dishes, what's the consequence? You'll have dirty dishes and you'll have lots of germs. Okay. What happens if you don't go to the dentist regularly? You end up with, you don't have healthy teeth, and sometimes the dentist will have to actually take the teeth out. Okay. That's what happens if you don't get it checked regularly. And if you don't clean your room, what happens? It gets all messy and you end up, next slide, tripping over and you hurt yourself, okay? If you put off things, there are consequences, okay? Things happen because we put things off. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's something really important that too many people put off and they shouldn't. Really, really important thing that people keep putting off and they shouldn't. Let's see what it is. It's a decision to follow Jesus. People put off deciding to follow Jesus. And there are consequences for people who don't decide to follow Jesus. And the big consequence is they do get lost, but they're actually locked out of getting into heaven. God says, no entry. God says, you need to follow my son, the Lord Jesus, if you want to get into heaven and spend life with me. Because when we follow Jesus and we make that decision, it's a really important decision, God offers us something. This is what he offers us. He offers us a seat at the biggest and best feast, the biggest and best banquet anyone could ever have. Eating and drinking and being in the presence of God Almighty. That's what he offers us. But in order to receive eternal life, what do we need to do? Not just think about Jesus, we need to follow him. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you help us not to put off that decision of following your son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that through Jesus, we can receive eternal life and a seat at your banquet for all eternity. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. you guys are heading out. If you're in Jam, you're staying here. So saying that if you're a big kid, you're staying in. So we'll see you guys later. And Jam kids are staying in here. Our song, or our psalm, is Psalm 23, if you want to follow along as we sing this. Psalm 23, it's a very popular psalm, but it's full of very rich theology. So Psalm 23, if you're on the songbook, we're on page 58, Psalm 23.
It's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you. Trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head.
In prayer, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful privilege it is to know that we can trust you, that you have once again over and over and over again proven your trustworthiness, that you are a strong and faithful God. And Lord, we know that the world that we live in, Father, that all of us will go through those dark times, those dark places, those dark valleys. Father, some of us may be in those valleys right now. But we thank you that even in those dark valleys, you are there with us, that you comfort us, that you guide us. We thank you for your word, which is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. Father, we pray this morning for those who are in those dark places. Father, whether it be because of health reasons, we pray for healing. Father, for those who are just struggling with the events of life, which just kind of keep piling up, we pray for peace. Father, for those who are just stressed because of all the things that need to be done, Father, we pray for calm and patience. Father, for those who are struggling with difficult relationships, Lord, we pray for wisdom. Father, in this quiet time for each of us, we have many worries and concerns. We just lift them up to you, Lord. You know our circumstance. You know where we're at. You know what we need more than we know ourselves. Father, we thank you that you are the generous God, that you are the God who provides. Help us to be thankful for all that you've given us, for our families, for our friends, for our church, for our homes. Father, just for the ability to just walk outside and admire the fresh air and the stillness of the day. Father, we know that a lot of people don't even have all those things. So help us to be thankful. Help us to know that you are the God who provides, and in you we can find true joy and true contentment. Father, we pray for our world. We look at the events of this week. And Father, it's amazing to know that you planned all these events, that they happened exactly as you planned it to be. And Father, even though there's been a lot of things happening in our world, we thank you that you are the God who controls it. Father, we pray for those who are suffering the effects of coronavirus. Lord, there are still thousands and thousands of cases across the world. We pray for governments as they look to stop the spread. We thank you that our numbers here in our country are relatively low at this time. We pray for those working on a vaccine. And we pray for those who are struggling and coming to grips with losing loved ones and having people seriously sick. Father, we pray for the nation of America at this time. We do pray that there would be a peaceful transition. Father, that sensibility would come to the fore. Father, ultimately, no government is stronger than you. And we pray for peace in that land, peace, same sort of peace that we enjoy here. But we also pray that people would understand that true peace only comes through being reconciled to you. That only in you can people find true joy and happiness and strength. And so we pray for this time across all the world that your gospel would go forth. We pray here in Henty, Father, there are people who need to know you. Father, we pray for opportunities to share, not just in here in Henty, but in Lockhart, Pleasant Hills, Holbrook, Father, all these towns. Father, may your word go forth. May your word be believed. May your word penetrate people's hearts. And we pray for us as well, that Father, as we sit under your word, that you would constantly change us and mold us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Our passage this morning is Luke 14, 15 to 24. Now, if you're in the church at Henty, we're on page 1048. 1048. Luke 14:15-24. And Florence is going to read that passage for us as well. Thanks, Florence.
Craig, while Florence is reading this passage, could you please unplug your microphone and clean it and plug it back in and see if that can fix the issue?
Yep.
Amy, are you hearing me? Yes?
Yes, yes, Florence, you're right to go.
Good, thank you. Reading from Luke chapter 14 and starting at verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
Okay, let's let me pray before we look at this passage together. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us to feel the weight of these words. Father, they are important words, the words that we need to understand and to understand them well. So please help us. We pray that your spirit might implant your word into our hearts. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said last week, we're in the middle of what's called a meal narrative. So Jesus is at the house of this prominent Pharisee. He's being carefully watched. And Jesus heals this man who has dropsy on a Sabbath day, no less. And these religious heavies, they have nothing to say. And Jesus, always willing to take an opportunity, gives them two dinner tips. Firstly, understand where you should sit. Don't take the seats which come with the high honor. Secondly, invite the right people. Invite those who can't repay you back. And as we saw last week, it's an issue of humility. Because in God's kingdom, the way up is down, and the way down is up. Jesus is saying, don't let pride rule your heart. Learn to love humility. So Jesus has just spoken these things, and you can see the jaws of the Pharisees begin to drop. But this is not the end of the section. Because we read in verse 15 that when one of these at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Indeed. Amen. Preach it, brother. How blessed are those who will sit down and eat with the living Lord in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible speaks of this great banquet that awaits in heaven. Isaiah describes it this way in chapter 25. He says, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all the peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all the nations, and he will swallow up death forever." The sovereign Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from the earth. The Lord has spoken. So if God's putting on this banquet, you can know it's going to be top quality. All the best meats, all the choicest wines. But Isaiah talks about this as an eternal banquet. One that will go on and on and on. What an absolute blessing it will be to sit down and enjoy this banquet. The man who spoke had it absolutely correct. Blessed are those who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. There's just one problem. This man mistakenly, and it's a big mistake, believes that he will be part of this banquet. This man makes this dangerous assumption that Jesus will agree with him and therefore he'll be part of the feast. He believes he will be one of the people at the lavish feast. And the reality is that Jesus is going to tell him a parable to show that in fact this man was in serious danger of missing out. Very serious danger. And unfortunately, too many people today, they make exactly the same assumption. That for whatever reason, they believe that they have their ticket to heaven booked. They're confident that they deserve to go to a better place when they die. Maybe it's because they've endured really well in this life. Maybe it's because they've served well in this life and heaven is their reward. Maybe it's because they believe that Jesus agrees with their spiritual condition. What this parable shows, though, is that not everyone who talks about getting into heaven will actually be there. There are going to be a lot of people, yes, a lot of people, who will not be sitting down at this feast. So Jesus tells this parable. Now, a parable is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and the setting of this parable is verse 16. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing for a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" Now, the key to understanding this parable is that it was his custom to send out two invitations. Now, we don't tend to do that today. We just send out the one invitation. But at the time of Jesus, there was two. The first was an initial offer with the time of the upcoming meal, and the guest would indicate their acceptance or they would decline the offer. And based on what came back, the organization could begin, how many animals would need to be killed, etc. Then when the meal was ready, the servant was sent out to invite the guests. The critical thing is if you accepted the invitation and then you didn't turn up when the second invitation came, it was considered very, very, very poor form. The second invitation put the guest in a duty-bound position to obey. It would be an absolute insult to the person putting on this banquet if people accepted and then they didn't show up. And that's what makes what Jesus says next in the story absolutely shocking. After all, this is not just a banquet. This is a great banquet. The host has gone to extraordinary lengths to make this a great banquet. Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I've just brought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just brought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married. I can't come." Excuses, excuses, excuses. Now everyone can come up with an excuse. "I got a flat tire. I got chatting and I lost track of time." But when you hear things like, "The dog ate my homework," or "I only have half the rent, so I went to the casino and tried to double my money," we begin to see through the excuses, don't we? Well, that's what's happening here. On the surface, they sound like good excuses, but when we dig a little bit, they're actually pretty ordinary. The first says, "I've just brought a field and I need to go and see it." Really? Who buys real estate without first doing some homework, without making a detailed inspection, without checking where all the services are? It's the same with the man purchasing the oxen. You'd, you'd think you would actually go and see them before you would actually purchase them. It's be kind of similar to buying five cars without looking at them, without knowing the make or the model, and without even knowing if they'd actually start. And besides, would not the oxen be there when the banquet was over? The married couple, well, maybe we could cut them a little bit of slack. But they couldn't even bring themselves to ask to be excused. Why not bring the bride and dance away at the banquet? Bottom line, when push came to shove, they did not want to come to the banquet. They all had something better to do, some other interest to pursue, which seems to be their own interests. But they're all in agreement. They were not going to come. They were just being rude and showing utmost disdain. And indeed, in some parts actually of the Middle East, such a refusal like this virtually amounted to a declaration of war. That's how serious it was. Now, unfortunately, we see the same thing too often in our world today too. People who say they believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus and they believe in the empty tomb, but they never truly come to follow Jesus. And they offer lame excuses. They pursue their own interests. They believe that pursuing their own interest is more important than the kingdom of God. They get bound up in earthly entertainments, commitments at work, their holidays to enjoy. They have no time for God, at least not now. They say in retirement, but in retirement they're even more busier. It's all window dressing for the fact they don't want to accept the invitation. So what does the host do? Well, if you invite someone and they say no, well, that's one thing. If they say yes and then they don't come, that's quite another, isn't it? So it's no surprise in this parable that after the servant came back and reported all this, the host becomes angry. And what is even bigger surprise is what happens next. Verse 21, the owner of the house became angry, ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets, into the alleys of the town, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. We would expect that those who made the excuses, those who were initially invited, they would not get a taste of the banquet. We'd expect that. What we don't expect is that the outsider, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame would get an invite. And those who are even further away in the highways and the byways, they not only get an invite, they are essentially compelled to come in. No seat is left empty, says the host. That's the twist here. Those who can only dream of an offer like this, those that the religious leaders look down upon and believe should never be invited to anything, those who are the outcasts, they get the invite. And they sit down and they eat. Can you hear the rage of the Pharisees? This is not what is supposed to happen, they complain. So what do we make of all this? Well, we need to consider this at two levels. One is, what does it mean for those who are listening to Jesus? And what does it mean for us today? So what does it mean for those listening to Jesus? Particularly the Jewish leadership. Well, what it means for them is that by saying no to Jesus, they were missing out on the eternal banquet. God had made these rich promises to the Jewish people. They were in line for God's blessing. They'd been given the first invitation. All was now ready. They'd been blessed. They've got the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, and the writings. The second invitation had gone out in the form of God's Son, and they refused to come to the Lord Jesus. And now they're going to be cut off from the table of the Lord. The most costliest rejection in the history of the world. The notion that they would be blessed because they would eat and feast in the kingdom of heaven. It was just bogus and pious jargon. They had no interest in kingdom things, no interest in Jesus, and ultimately will not be present at the great feast. And what's more, instead of the table being full of Jewish people, it will now be composed of non-Jewish people, the Gentiles. Exactly what Jesus says in Matthew 21:31, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. This banquet's not going to go to waste. The feast must be filled. The outsider will feast. The subclasses are called to the table. Those that the Jewish people believed should never be able to be entered, to enter, they're going to have the welcome mat rolled out by God. Those that they least expect to attend will be there. But what about for us? What does this mean for us? Firstly, and most importantly, you need to respond to the invitation. You must accept Jesus, or else you'll be locked out of eternal life. You can't accept the invitation half-heartedly. You can't say, oh yes, Jesus, I'll get to you at some point. You can't keep putting him off. You can't say you follow Jesus and then I'll live a lifestyle which is very passive towards him. It's naive to think that God is not angry when we find excuses for not putting him first in our lives. You've got to accept the invitation, which means trusting him for salvation and eternal life and following him in all areas of your life. And the time to accept that invitation is today. It must be done before it's too late. It's also important to note that the invitation goes out to all, but none of us actually deserve this invitation. The invitation is made by the gracious host to all of us. None of us actually deserve a place at this banquet, and we certainly can't earn a place through our own efforts. We can't demand it. Imagine going to someone and say, hey, I'm just going to do this for you, and in return, I expect that you're going to give me dinner. It doesn't work like that. And it doesn't work in God's kingdom. And remember the great cost that is involved in God putting on this banquet. It cost him his very own dear son, the Lord Jesus. It cost him everything to prepare this feast. Pain, tears, flesh, blood. It ultimately cost him his life in a display of humiliation. And as we learned last week, Jesus humbled himself to serve us. There was significant cost. Let's not forget that. But one more final thought. Did you notice in the parable that the command is given to the servant to go out to the highways and the byways and to make people come in? Did this happen? Was this command fulfilled? Well, we don't know. The parable doesn't say. We can only assume that this command gets carried out, but perhaps it's left hanging for an important reason. Namely, that at the time of Jesus, it was not yet quite time for the gospel to go into all the world. Instead, that task would be left to the apostles and to us, to go into all the world and to make disciples of all the nations. God knows that there are people outside who need to come into this banquet, and he uses his people to get the invitation out to those who need it. And so we need to remember that we've got to play our part in that. We are ambassadors for Christ. We need to urge people to be reconciled to God. And in doing so, come into the great feast. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful invitation, this gracious invitation that you have given to each one of us. Father, for those who have accepted the invitation, we know how costly that invitation was for us to receive it. But Lord, there are so many people who are outside and in danger of missing out on this wonderful feast. And so we pray that you might use us, that we might go out into the highways and the byways and compel people that they need to turn to the Lord Jesus and to know him and to feast with him for all eternity. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our song is See Him Coming. If you're on the songbook, we're on page 24. It talks about that day when Jesus will return, the day where we will go and feast in the kingdom of God. See Him coming.
Glory and power to the one who loves us. Honor and praise Him forever. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Glory and power to the one who freed us from all our sins by His blood. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. See Him coming on the clouds of heaven. Every eye behold Him now. He's the now He lives forever and ever. Glory and power to the one who made us, kingdom of priests for God's service. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
I'll pronounce the benediction. If you're in Hendy Church, we have morning tea over in the hall. There's also a little box at the back if you'd like to make a contribution to the work of the Lord. If you're online, if you'd like to stay around, there'll be an opportunity to chat as well. This morning we opened in Psalm 95. And let me just read the last few words of the psalm. It says, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.